you. Then she said, Miss Baby, can you feel it? Give me that. There's a passion for it, can't ignore it. Give me that. Cause your love give me goosebumps. You're the right one when I need some. I call you. Real love never gives up on a Tuesday. If it does rain, you come through. Your love's like a big hug on a bad day. Just what I need in my life. You're one in a million. When I wake up, what's the first thing on my mind?
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Some people call me King Flex. Some people call me K-Flex. Whatever you want to call me, that's all good. Glad to have everybody tuning into the show. Don't forget to check out my books, The Art of Mac and The Elite Way, The Art of Gold Digging, all that stuff at Amazon.com. We're going to chop up some good game, and we're going to take some phone calls shortly. But what we're going to have to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. And we will be right back after these messages right here on Tariq Elite Radio. TheShepherdsHarvest.com. Your health is your wealth. Are you searching for those superfoods and herbal teas to boost your immune system? Then you have found the right place. The Shepherd's Harvest is a nutritional supplement and herbal tea company, and they have the finest organic products on the planet Earth. You want it? They got it. You need to check out TheShepherdsHarvest.com or give them a call at 1-800-487-9035. That's TheShepherdsHarvest.com. A system has been built for our people to practice group economics. Check out r-stones.com. r-stones.com is a network community for Black and African people to practice group economics. We are the rejected stones that all others refuse to build with. That's why the website is called r-stones.com. At r-stones.com, you can meet other people in your area or around the world to partner with and invest in businesses or real estate. Go to r-stones.com. What's going on, family? This is Tariq Elite Nasheed, and I'm going to be doing a live lecture in Philadelphia on July 5th, 2015 at the International House of Philadelphia. Now, that's at 3701 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia, 19131. Doors open at 6 o'clock. It's going to end around 10 o'clock. I'm doing a live lecture. I'm going to be chopping up a lot of good games, so I want to see your face in the place. That's July 5th. International House of Philadelphia. Get your tickets now at TariqLive.com. That's TariqLive.com. Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! Oh, we are back, we are back, we are back. What's going on, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get all that fresh gear, by the way. Those melanin t-shirts, the hottest thing on the streets right now. Go to TariqElite.com to get that, ladies and gentlemen. And also go to TariqRadio.com to check out my latest lecture that's entitled International Racism. A lot of good game in that lecture, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number where you can call up and chop up game with me. A lot of stuff I want to talk about on today's show. I want to talk about this thug word that we keep hearing in the media. We keep hearing a lot about this thug word. And we need to know, who are the real thugs? What's the real thugs? What's the meaning behind that? And who are the real thugs? I'm going to get into that a little bit later. Let me see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq. What's up, man?
What's up? Who is this?
It's Mush from, I'm from Canada, bro.
Mush from Canada. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, that's crazy that you answered, man. I've been trying to get you on the phone. But anyway, I got this question. I got this girl that I've been working with for about 2 years and shit, but the whole 2 years I've been trying to she's not the type of girl that, she's very fine, but she's not the type of girl you want to have a relationship with, right?
Now, why not?
I've been
really
trying.
Why wouldn't you want to have a relationship with her?
She's too drama. Like, she's too much drama, and basically, I just want to hit it and quit, man. But
right.
And she showed me, she showed me all the signs that she's down, but like I can't get her to come over, you know.
Well, the thing is, she knows you want to hit it and quit. She knows. A lot of women know when a dude just wants to hit it and quit. And you're putting too much energy into it. If you know she's not really wifey material or girlfriend material, she probably knows that. That woman knows that dudes ain't really trying to wipe her up. So she's the kind of chick who's probably trying to get everything she can out of a dude before they hit it and split. And, you know, he can't be mad at her. My thing is, don't exert too much energy into a chick who's clearly giving you the runaround and you ain't really trying to get no relationship with anyway. There's a limit to the ass chasing that you can do. A lot of times dudes will go above and beyond the needed energy to chase some ass. You do too much just to get some ass, and then when you get the ass, it ain't worth it. You dig? But the thing is, you've invested so much time, you feel like you really got to get it the more time you invest. And you got to know how to charge that time and energy to the game. If it's a chick who ain't really worth putting all that energy into after you have sex with her, don't even take it that seriously, man. You're probably sweating this chick and she knows what the deal is. So charge her to the game and let her come holler at you a little bit. You feel me?
For sure, man. Thanks a lot, bro. I'm a big fan. You have a good night, man.
Much respect, brother. All right, we're going to take another call, then we're going to get into some game. All right, what's happening? What's up? What's up? Who is this?
Flex, man. It's your boy, Trey Field, out of Houston, man.
Hey, man. What's on your mind today, fam?
Not much, man. I want to get your thoughts real quick. I want to know what you thought about. So I was looking at some of Sister Soldier's old stuff.
Yeah.
She kind of talked about some of the stuff you kind of you've been preaching to us lately.
Yeah. Sister Soldier's the truth, man. I wonder what happened to her, man. I haven't heard from her in years. I know she wrote the book, The Coldest Winter Ever, which was a bestseller. And I like Sister Soldier, man. She was representing back in the day, but she just kind of disappeared. So I don't know what happened to the sister.
Yes, sir. They kind of messed us up, man. I was wondering about that.
All right, man.
But, appreciate it, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Okay, so y'all ain't talking about shit today. This brother called up, wanted to ask about Sister Soldier. That's kind of random. All right. Again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. But I want to talk about who's the real thug. This situation, there was a situation down in Waco, Texas this week, where there were these thug white biker gangs that got into a shootout. They had an old Western shootout with some biker gangs out here in Waco, Texas this week. And a lot of people are criticizing how the media handled this situation, because 9 people got killed, dozens of people got injured, they had guns, knives, brass knuckles, chains. It was like some a movie. It was a bloodbath. And the media, they downplayed the hell out of this situation. Not only did these white biker gangs have a bloodbath in a restaurant of all places, it's a restaurant, it's like a bootleg Hooters called Twin Peaks. They had this bloody showdown at this restaurant where people are dead. They shot out with the cops. They were shooting at the cops, the whole shebang. And the media, on the day it was happening, I think it happened this Sunday, the media downplayed this so much. First, they wouldn't name the names of the biker gangs. They wouldn't give those names out. They wouldn't show anybody's picture. They didn't show the mugshots at first. They didn't give out the names of any of the gang members. And one thing that was particularly peculiar, not once did anybody refer to these white hoodlums as thugs. Nobody referred to them as thugs. Now, rewind to Baltimore and Ferguson. Well, let's just go to Baltimore since that was most recent. In Baltimore, they used the word thug over and over and over again. Everybody kept repeating the word thug. These were unarmed children, basically, out here trying to uprise against a system that is legitimately oppressing them. And everybody got on the whole thug bandwagon. This is the reason why people call out the word for being racially sensitive or racially targeting people. The word thug is the new N-word. It's the new nigga. And this situation with Waco is the proof of that. So we got to be very clear when people are using racial epithets towards us. Now, out there in Baltimore, I was in Baltimore, and the media out there, and not just the media out there, but the nationwide media, the national media, they went on and on about how the Black Gorilla Family, a gang that is basically defunct on the streets, they're not even on the streets like that, but the media outlets kept saying the words Black Mafia Family, the Black Mafia Family, the Black Gorilla Family, I'm sorry, the Black Gorilla Family, BGF, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about Big Meech and those guys, but the Black Gorilla Family. The media kept talking about the Black Gorilla Family, BGF, which is a non-active street gang. They're really a prison gang, but they're not that active on the street. But we kept hearing about how the Black Gorilla Family was going to attack cops. They used the term Black Gorilla Family in a lot of cases, if you notice. In the case where that dude, I think he was in Baltimore or Philly, he went up to New York earlier this year and shot two police officers in New York. Which a lot of people thought that that was very peculiar. A lot of people thought that that was very interesting, like that was some type of government setup, if you want to put on your tinfoil hat, by the way. And I'll get on that in a minute. I'll get on that in a minute. I'll get on that whole thing where the guy went up to New York from, I want to say he was from Baltimore. It was either Baltimore or Philly, but he went up to New York. They said he posted something on Facebook talking about he's going to kill some pigs and all this old stuff, and went up to New York and shot two random police officers. Now, keep that in mind. I'm going to get on that a little bit later. But even with him, they were using the word Black Gorilla Family. They were trying to say that that dude was part of the Black Gorilla Family gang. They were trying to say that that dude, sorry about that, my Mac and music came on. They were trying to say that that dude was part of the Black Gorilla Family gang. They kept repeating the Black Gorilla Family gang. But in Waco, the media would not release the names of any of these biker gangs that literally kill people. They got out there and slaughtered people, and they wouldn't release the names of these people. And now, a few days later, everybody now knows the names of the gangs. The Bandidos, the Cossacks. And what's the other one? There's another one. The Bandidos, the Cossacks. What is the name of the... I can't think of the name. It was three gangs. I can't think of the other one. All my people in the Ustream room, let me know what the name of the third gang is down there in Waco that was shooting up the place. Because the thing is, out there in Waco, these thugs, these are the real thugs, they were not only fighting each other, they actually threatened cops. The police down there had an APB out saying that cops' lives are being threatened by these gangs. These gangs are going to take retaliation against any uniformed cops. So the cops were on alert, but there was no curfew. There were no military tanks. There were no armored vehicles like there was for children out there in Baltimore and Ferguson. And the excuse the white supremacists like to use is that, well, the black people out there in Ferguson and Baltimore were destroying property. Well, hell, if you're shooting in a restaurant, you're destroying property. If you're shooting in a restaurant, you are destroying property. But who are the real thugs? I mean, let's be real. See, a lot of people, especially the white supremacists, they like to project their ideology, mindset, and actions onto melanoid people. The whole narrative that black people are lazy, that's a projection from the white supremacists. Remember, the white supremacists, especially going back to slavery, they took pride in being lazy and not working. The white supremacists took pride in sitting on the porch, letting black people do all the work while they sip tea. That's that whole Paula Deen thing, that whole Southern Belle thing. But the white supremacists, they have a habit of projecting their ideology onto us, that black people are so sexual. When you look at rapes and pedophilia, it's the white supremacists who engage in that type of behavior the most. When they say that black people have no morals, nobody has less morals than a white supremacist. The white supremacists will lie about anything and hide behind religion. They will hide behind charities. There was a charity now, if you look at the news and the media, there was a cancer charity where these people collected over $100 million and spent all the money on themselves. Some white supremacists did that. They collected over $100 million and didn't give a dime to these people dying of cancer. They balled out with that money, but they project that moralistic thing onto us. The Scimitars, that's the third biker gang. Thank you, Empire in the Room. The Scimitars, that's the other biker gang out there in Waco. But like I said, the white supremacists, they like to project their actions and ideology onto us. And one thing they like to project on us is thug behavior. Nobody's more thuggish and degenerate than a white supremacist. These biker gangs, they've been around since the 1960s, terrorizing people, engaging in all types of crimes. These are a bunch of methed out criminal thug heathen hoodlums. And they sat up here and shot up people, and the cops knew that they were going to have a showdown. The police knew that they were going to go there and shoot it out or battle it out. They already knew, and they let it go down. See, thug behavior is legalized and tolerated by the dominant white supremacist society. This is why black folks got to get off the whole coon train thing of jumping on these respectability politics. We just got to act better and the white supremacists will like us and accept us. We got to get off that. Puff Daddy, Diddy, Sean Combs, he did some of that respectability politic bullshit earlier this week. He put out an Instagram talking about how we can't talk about how Black Lives Matter if we don't respect ourselves. Black people commit genocide on each other. Oh, Puffy, don't go there. Puffy, you look like you're trying to get a ride on the train, fam. Not a good look, Puff. Not a good look, Puff. That ain't gonna fly, Puff. If you're listening, let Puff know I'm hollering at him right now. Puff, that bullshit you talking, that shows how in touch you are with the streets, bruh. I know you and cats like Steve Stout and all that, y'all pride yourself on going to the white supremacists, the moneyed people, and giving them the impression that you're really, really connected to the streets and you're going to let them know what's hot in the streets. If you're saying shit like that, you don't know what's hot in the streets right now, fam. If you're saying shit like that, bro, you don't know what's hot in the streets, because that shit you talking, my dude, is not hot in the streets, Puff. And I like Puff. I wear Sean John. I like his shit. But that ain't going to fly, bro. That kind of talk ain't working right now, bro. Not with the young audiences, the young people out here. That's the last thing they need, is to hear soft shoe coon talk. We need to be directly targeting and stepping to and addressing systematic white supremacy. I don't care how much money these cats are giving you. We're going to have to start addressing white supremacy because we're going to keep going into this circle. But the thing is, the white supremacists, they're circling their wagons heavy right now. And they protect themselves on all fronts. They're not going to sit up and call each other thugs because they know that that word is reserved for the melanoid people to criminalize you to justify injustices upon you. And the white supremacists are taking the gloves off at this point. Do you know, most of those biker gangs down there in Texas were white, white dudes. They keep showing a set of mugshots with one of the people, the so-called biker gang members. One looks like a dark Mexican. They keep showing that series of mugshots with that dark Mexican biker in it. They're doing that for a reason, to make it seem like, oh, it's not all white biker gang members that engaged in this. Also, what CNN did, they did something that's so ridiculously shameless, it's almost farcical. And I question the validity of this. CNN did a story, and I posted this on my Facebook page. Follow me on Facebook if you're not following me at Tariq Elite or Tariq Nasheed. That's my Facebook. But CNN did a story on one of the so-called biker gang members that was arrested. And this is the only one, basically, that they singled out. Remember, hundreds of these biker gang members have been arrested. They singled one out, talking about he used to be a cop, I think in San Francisco somewhere. He's an ex-police officer. And this one that they singled out just happened to be a black person. That's nothing but white supremacist propaganda, because I really don't even believe he was part of the gang down there in Waco. Because I saw all the images and all the footage. I didn't see any black people out there. Not one. I didn't see one black person out there. Also, a lot of these biker gang members are white supremacists. They have like white supremacist tattoos and the whole nine yards. So I'm trying to see which so-called biker gang is he supposed to be in, and was he out there during that shootout, or is he just connected to the gang? Because they might be doing that whole Rico stature thing where if he's connected to the gang, they're just going to throw him in the mix even though he wasn't there and sacrifice the black guy. These white supremacists are not joking around in the media right now. And we look at Fox News as being a racist media source, but some of these other ones are just as racist as Fox News. Some of these other ones are just as racist as Fox News. But this one black so-called motorcycle gang member that they done found and put on CNN, that looked fake. That looked like somebody they got and they just used him to create a false narrative to get the heat off all of those white supremacists that got caught up out there. Also, what these news outlets are doing, they're showing old footage of black biker gangs getting into altercation. So now they're tying in unrelated news media footage and connecting it to these white supremacists out here in Waco shooting up each other. That's how white supremacy works. They use their media as propaganda. That's all media is, especially in America. It's a tool and it's a system of propaganda to maintain white supremacy. That's thug behavior. That's why we gotta wake up and really tell our narrative, tell our stories, and be connected and stop listening to these white supremacists. We got to be very thorough about what's happening out here. And speaking of thug behavior and thug projection, one person who we know who's on Fox News, Bill O'Reilly, he's the thug word ambassador. He loves throwing the word thug out there when it comes to black people. Bill O'Reilly is the leader for a lot of the white supremacists out there. They get most of their talking points from Bill O'Reilly. They get most of their talking points from Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, especially Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly goes out of his way to throw black people under the bus. The problem is the blacks. He's on television almost every other night. The problem is not white racism. That don't exist. It is black people. They're the problem. You got no morals. You're broken families. You have no fathers. Your families are destroyed. And that's what's wrong with black folks. You're in gangs. You're thugs. That's the problem with black folks. He's real bold about his white supremacist views. Well, it came out this week that Bill O'Reilly allegedly, since going through his divorce with his wife, has been accused of domestic violence by his own daughter, allegedly. Several reputable news sources have obtained court documents and depositions showing that allegedly, and I'm throwing the word allegedly out there because I know how these white supremacists are, Bill O'Reilly's own daughter claimed that she saw her father, Bill O'Reilly, drag his ex-wife by her neck down a flight of stairs. Who's the damn thug? Who's the thug here? And even with that information, some of the news outlets are kind of soft shoe downplaying that a little bit. Now, when Floyd Mayweather, who served time and did his little month in jail for domestic violence, they made him the poster boy of domestic violence. Ray Rice was the poster boy of domestic violence. Now, Bill O'Reilly, he's been accused by his own daughter, allegedly, of domestic violence, and people are kind of soft-shoeing around that. See, the white supremacists, they look out for their own. Where are all these white feminist groups? Hell, where are the black ones to say something about Bill O'Reilly? Where are the Negro bedwinches? Or the ones who pretend to be black feminists? Where are the Negro bedwinches? Oh, they're waiting for the next episode of Scandal. But where are all these white supremacist feminist organizations? They're quiet as hell about this. They are so quiet about this. Why are they so quiet? And these are the main people, these white supremacist feminist organizations. They go around the country heckling Bill Cosby for his rape allegations that are far-fetched as hell. And also Janice Dickinson, she's trying to sue Bill Cosby because of raping that he was supposed to have done, what, 30 years ago. So look, these white supremacists are no joke when it comes to attacking black folks. But when one of their own is accused of abuse, they get real quiet. They want to wait on the evidence and all this stuff. Even when a person's own daughter is alleging that they did this. You got to understand how white supremacy works. See, they try to throw that whole Republican-Democrat bullshit on you. Please, black folks, don't fall for that. Don't let these white supremacists trick you into believing that they have some type of partisan beef, some type of political party beef. When white supremacy is at stake, they all jump on the same page, fam. That's why we need to get that code of conduct. And I'm going on the code of conduct tour this summer. Atlanta is confirmed. I'm going to be at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta on Saturday, July 11th. We're going to turn that mother out. It's going to be off the chain. The cities I'm going to is going to be Philly, Atlanta, and Detroit. Philly on July 5th, that's Sunday. Atlanta, which is the following Saturday, July 11th at the Alliance Theater. And Detroit, the following Saturday, is July 18th. You can get tickets for Philly and Detroit right now at TariqLive.com. The tickets for Atlanta will go up, I think, next week. So y'all stay tuned for that. I want everybody in Atlanta to be there. It's going to be off the chain, but I digress. But we got to understand the game that's being played out here. And we also have to understand, family, that President Obama, and I've said this many, many times, and I voted for President Barack Obama, but black people, when are you going to come to the conclusion that Obama, President Obama just kind of left us hanging. Well, some black folks don't want to really accept that. Some black people do not want to accept that. Look, they sent Michelle Obama down there to Tuskegee. She did a speech saying that we've had it rough. You know, she talked in coded language that the white supremacists caught. They're like, wait a minute, you're talking about us. She's talking about how hard she had it from certain people, which she was talking about white supremacy. And my thing is, okay, sister, if you had it so bad, why is your husband doing all types of shit to not help us? When it comes to helping us, Obamas, they act like their hands are tied. They can't do anything. Oh, I can't do nothing. Oh, it has to go through Congress. Oh, I can't do nothing. When it comes to us, their hands are tied. All of a sudden, they're helpless and weak when it comes to helping black folks out. The president came out earlier this week making it seem like he was throwing us a bone a little bit by saying, well, what we're going to do, we're going to take away some of the weapons of local law enforcement because they shouldn't be out there with certain weapons. And they shouldn't be out there with camouflage because during Ferguson in Baltimore, the cops were walking around in camouflage, not the cops, but the National Guard. They're walking around in camouflage gear like they're in Iraq. I talked about this. They were literally looking like they were occupying the Middle East looking for terrorists. They were occupying Baltimore and Ferguson like it was a foreign country. Well, the black community. They only do that to the black communities. They don't roll out tanks on white citizens. I've said this a million times. This government, they do not roll out tanks and National Guard on white citizens. They treat them with kid gloves. That's why when these Waco bikers and all these people get into shootouts, they don't roll out that National Guard. They don't roll out tanks and camouflage. When Clive and Bundy and his people were pointing guns at the federal government, they didn't roll out the tanks and the army vehicles on them. But with black children who are unarmed, rising up against police brutality, they roll out the tanks, military, rocket launchers. They had rocket launchers. They roll out all the shit they use on ISIS and the Taliban on us. So Barack Obama said he's going to kind of tone that down. Well, he's going to tone down certain weapons they use. That's what he's going to tone down. He's not going to tone down them attacking us and pointing their weaponry at us, but he's going to tone down or take away some of the types of weapons they use to point at us, which is some cosmetic bullshit. It sounds like it's good, but it's like, if a person is pointing a rocket launcher at me, taking away his rocket launcher and giving him a machine gun, that's not any better. How about not letting this motherfucker roll up on me with any kind of weapons if I'm fighting for justice? Because these black children are not out here just for the hell of it. They're uprising as a response to injustice. So, a lot of black folks saw that gesture of Barack Obama claiming that he was going to try to take away some of the weaponry of local law enforcement because it's overkill, it shouldn't be used. So, a lot of black folks were pacified. And then he came back with the head fake. See, that was a head fake. Because yesterday, he signed something else. He signed a bill that would protect police officers. Barack Obama signed a bill that would protect police officers from threats because of that dude who was supposed to be from the Black Gorilla family who allegedly got on Facebook talking about he was going to kill cops. He allegedly went up there to New York, killed those cops. So this new bill was done in honor of those two cops who were killed by that black dude from Baltimore. So Barack Obama, instead of Barack Obama doing anything, signing any bill to protect all of these black people who are getting slaughtered repeatedly by cops around the country, instead of him doing something to protect us, black folks, who are getting shot in the back, black children like Tamir Rice getting shot. And Tamir Rice, did y'all know that they actually, there's a memo out right now where they're charging him after his death for like assault. There's some type of assault charge that they're charging him with after he died. If y'all think I'm making it up, Google what I just said. Google what I just said. Tamir Rice has been charged with some kind of aggravated assault. I want to look up the actual charge. I'm going to look that up while I'm talking. Let me get a call and I'll look it up while I take this call. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? Okay, player. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. Okay, this is it. This is what Tamir Rice was charged with. It was called aggravated menacing. Tamir Rice, the little boy who got killed in November 2014, 12 years old, the Cleveland police, I guess they're trying to cover their tracks to criminalize him. So now that they've officially charged him, they can now use that charge to criminalize him if the family's trying to get a civil suit, because I think the family's trying to get a civil suit going on. So they got to criminalize the young man in order to get into the white supremacist's mind that he shouldn't get justice because he's a criminal. The actual charge is called aggravated menacing and inducing panic because he was playing with a toy gun. These white supremacists are not playing. They're making up shit as they go along. It ain't nothing you can do to thwart their white supremacist views. Black people with all of this, we need to respect ourselves. These white supremacists don't give a fuck about that. These white supremacists are getting satanic with the way they're getting down right now. They make up the laws as they go along. But look at what I'm saying. Google Tamir Rice and aggravated menacing. That's the charge. Let me get a couple of these calls. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
Hey, who is this?
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Who is this?
This is Lisa. I'm listening to Tariq Nasheed's show.
This is Tariq Nasheed, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. You talking about white supremacy, and I'm kind of tired of that subject, though. Really? You're promoting it, sort of? I think the black community, we really should be talking about how we going to get our paper up, you know?
Okay. That's a good conversation. Okay, so how should we get our paper up?
It's really simple. We actually have the raw materials right here in our own community. I mean, I used to live in North Philadelphia, right?
Okay.
And I was there the last time. There is enough trash to create a utility power. There is enough raw material to recycle. So say we open recycling plants only in black areas and employ our own people and use the material and sell it back to young black entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So say you have a lotion, or say you want to make your own brand of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Okay, we got enough recycled paper in our own community.
Okay.
To start our own, like, you know, things that people replenish frequently. And because we don't have a franchise on that. So say I want to go.
Okay, Lisa, let me ask you this. What's your website for your business?
I'm still putting it together. Actually, right now I'm doing music. I'm putting together a plan.
So you don't have that. So you're saying, okay. So how come you don't have a business, Lisa?
I did have a business. I was selling jewelry. I was selling jewelry, and I was in Leimert Park, okay? And the same black people I saw over at Crenshaw and Macy's buying earrings, I had those same earrings.
Why don't you have a, you don't have a business now, Lisa?
I do have a business. I sell jewelry. I just told you.
You just said you used to. You just said you used to sell jewelry.
Well, not in Houston. I put it on hold. Like, I'm working with a friend, and she's...
So you don't have it now. So you, okay, you're changing up every second, Lisa, so you don't have a business right now.
No, I do. I work as an independent vendor. I do have a business. Like, I sell jewelry.
Okay, but you said you're not selling it no more, Lisa. See, this is the problem
Because I got two jobs.
So you got two jobs.
I had to put it on hold because I'm just telling I'm in Leimert Park, right?
Okay, but you're giving people advice on something that you're not doing, Lisa. So why would people listen to that, Lisa?
I need the capital. I need the money to start this thing.
But you're giving people...
It costs money to start it.
I know that, but why don't you get the money and start it?
I'm explaining it to you. I was selling my jewelry in Leimert Park.
But I get it. But when people start talking about
black folks was not buying my jewelry, and I had the same stuff.
So why are you giving people advice on something that you're not doing now, Lisa? You're not doing what you're telling people to do. You work for all the people.
I am.
No, you're not. You got two jobs.
I'm selling it in Leimert Park. Listen, are you in L.A.?
I am in L.A., yes.
Okay, listen, on Sunday, this Sunday, come to Leimert Park at about the time when they start beating the drums, and you will see me out there and buy a piece of my jewelry.
So you sell jewelry on the streets on the weekend?
Yeah, because I have a job. I have a regular job. I'm a retail merchandiser.
Uh-huh. So you work for the white supremacists then, huh?
What choice do I have? No one is coming out to Leimert Park to buy my jewelry.
Huh. So it is white supremacy. It goes back to white supremacy. You said you're tired of talking about white supremacy, but you work for the white supremacists because you said you ain't got no choice.
But you're promoting it. You're giving them promotion.
You're promoting
it.
You're the one working for them. You work for them. I don't. You're promoting them. Why are you promoting white supremacy by working for them?
Are you going to come up to Leimert Park and buy some of my jewelry?
Why are you working for white supremacists, though?
Because I'm trying to get black folks to come out to the bird park and buy my jewelry.
Well, the thing is, it goes back to race then. Now it circles back to race. You don't want to talk about race, but now you're talking about race because black folks buying your stuff.
Listen, I'll talk about race. This is what I say about.
But you just said, I don't want to talk about white supremacy, but now it goes right back to race.
But that's what you want to talk about. See, it seems like the
But you're talking about it. Ma'am, you're talking about it too. I asked you, how come you ain't got no business? Because black folks don't want it. So now the problem is race. Now the problem goes back to
race. No, they have to buy from me. Like, listen, we're all these vendors out in Leimert Park, and we're all chasing the same dollar. It's not good for me. Well, I got one sister next to me. She's selling Michael Kors bags, right? I got Michael Kors bags, too. I'm not trying to cut her off and trying to chase the same dollar when I have the same thing. So it's like, I can't bring my stuff out here because she already got that out here. So we got to fight each other over who can, over who's going to sell that.
But you were talking about, just talking about all the raw material that you can get. How come you haven't done
that? Listen, I recycle, like I do. I have a lot of recycling. I take it to the recycling. Like, I do it all the time.
So
and
recycling.
I start my own recycling business.
So you take cans and stuff to a recycling place?
Yeah, I do. I take my cans and bottles and stuff. I recycle
Lisa,
everything.
Lisa, how old are you? You sound over 40. How old are you, Lisa?
That's rude. Why would you ask me something like that? But
there's a
reason. I'm over 40, yes.
Yes, indeed.
I'm over.
Lisa, why are you over 40? Recycling cans and all of that. That's Lisa. That sounds like a person who used to be on drugs. Were you ever on the pipe?
I have never been on drugs. Okay, I recycle because that little extra money to put gas in my car. So why would I throw something away if I know I can get gas for it? That's ridiculous.
I'm trying to see why somebody over 40 is
drugs.
Out here recycling.
Okay, I never did drugs.
I'm trying to see why you're over 40 recycling cans.
So you're saying it's wrong to help the environment, but I should just throw trash in the gutter.
But you're doing the same thing as homeless people in Hollywood, sweetheart.
And
you're giving people advice on how to start a business?
Keep trash from being on the ground. Okay, because this
So you're doing it for the environment?
I'm in Hollywood is terrible. Okay, it's trash everywhere. They got trash all over this place.
So you're recycling to clean up the environment. That's why you're doing it.
Yeah, to keep it clean. Yeah, and if you have those raw materials, then you know that you can use trash to create energy. I mean, you heard of your renewable energy. If you can, you could take that trash and create renewable solar energy, renewable energy, that type of thing. If you want black power, then you have to sell things that black people frequently use. And what do we use? Electricity.
I want my listeners to understand now. I want my listeners. I want my listeners to really feel what you're saying, because Lisa, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, and you're just babbling on and on. You have no idea. You have no idea what you're talking. I am clowning because Lisa, hold on, Lisa.
I have a job. I have a well-paid job, Lisa.
You're gonna have to. I don't want to mute your microphone, but you can't talk over me.
Okay,
you're babbling. Because you're babbling on and on, and it's becoming nonsensical. And this is why I have to take care of these kids out here. Because these children, all of these kids listening, these young people, this is why I ride for them. Because older black folks like you are full of shit.
No, see, listen.
And I can't even be, politically correct about it. You're full of shit,
Lisa. No, crack babies are adults now.
Lisa, no, please. These kids have people like you raising them who don't know what the hell they're talking about, babbling on and on. You out here collecting cans, talking
of...
Where's your son? Where's your son?
What?
Where's your son?
My son is a grown man who has three jobs. He currently lives out in Mammoth, okay? And he has...
How old is your son?
My son, he's in his late 20s.
Okay, so you must be like 50-something. You're an older sister.
No, I'm not.
Because you... Unless you were a teen mother. Lisa, were you a teen mother? Lisa.
I don't get to say anything.
Lisa, were you a teen mother? Were you a teen mother?
What?
Were you a teen mother?
A teen mother. I had when I was 17.
There you go. So you've been fucking up all of your life.
Oh, I have a college degree. What are you talking about? I had a job with a...
You've been
school,
fucking
all
up
of that.
All of your life, Lisa. And you're still...
And I'm still young, and he's a grown man, and I have a job. I don't smoke crack, okay? I have my own place. Listen, I'm trying to tell you that it's a systematic thing, and you know it because you're talking about systematic things. Now, listen, I done bought all your DVDs, Pink Colors. You're going to insult me, and you're going to talk about me. I'm listening to your show, and I'm trying to tell you some things.
Because, Lisa, my thing is this. Lisa, my thing is this, because I don't like to play games with black folks. Because right now we're being targeted. The first thing out of your mouth is that I talk too much about white supremacy, and
you
then
do. You do.
Okay.
You do.
I do.
You,
well, how so? How so?
That tells me that you believe that the white man deserves to be in control if you keep promoting his antics. Because you don't put his antics on the forefront.
But the white man is in control of you.
As it relates to me,
ma'am,
I don't care about what
you
he's
work
doing
for white supremacy. You work for white supremacy, so you're being controlled by white supremacy. You got to wake up every day and answer to... Yes, you do. You got to wake up every day and answer to white supremacy. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, ma'am.
About what I'm saying, you said come up with a solution. Like, a lot of people call in and they say they don't really have a solution. It's not hard.
But you can't give a solution for something that you're not even doing. You can't give a solution for something you're not doing. You're calling up telling me to not talk about white supremacy, but you work for white supremacists. You're another older black person that's running jive-ass game.
How many choices do black people have?
You shouldn't have had a baby at 17. That was one choice you could have made, number one. And you could have learned from your mistakes.
I can't take that back.
And you could have learned from your mistakes.
You
just want to make the same mistakes over and over and just keep talking and running your mouth and not admitting that you've made mistakes, and you're 50-something years old out here collecting cans.
I'm not 50-something years old. Listen, Don't insult me. Okay.
We're just talking. No, no. Am I telling a lie? Ma'am, am I telling a lie? I'm not saying that to insult you. I'm not saying,
supremacy is not what you should be doing. You should alert people to the bottom. Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Well, I sound like you hung up. No, I'm saying you should keep people aware of it, but don't put it at the forefront as if white supremacy is all we need to focus on, because a lot of black people don't have education. They've never learned. I mean, when I
so what
school,
do you need to focus on?
So if you don't,
whoa, I put her on hold. Black folks, that's what you got to watch out for. Older black people like this are dangerous.
She's still running her mouth.
Okay,
I learned that in school. What?
Now, yeah, you didn't even know that you were on hold. You were babbling in your own hole. So if we should not focus on white supremacy, what should we focus on?
You should focus on education, because
okay.
Black people never learn.
Okay, let's get into that. Let's get into education.
Okay,
Hey, stop. I'm asking you a question.
What's the question?
The question, you said we should focus on education. See, don't say something and then start talking over yourself. Because now that makes it seem like you're jive ass. Okay, so
should focus on education, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, I know why. Wait, stop. I know why we should focus on education, but the question to you, why do you think there is a lapse in education for black people? Why?
When I left high school, they eliminated geography, they eliminated art, and they eliminated music, okay? We need all those things.
Okay, now let's go back. Who eliminated that and why?
The school curriculum. The school board in Philadelphia eliminated geography.
Why did they do that?
In the 80s. What?
Why did they do that?
Because they said we don't need that. That's an extra course that they didn't want to spend money on, so they eliminated geography. So you got kids out here who don't even know.
So why didn't people in the community just fund it themselves, like people do at charter schools? How come people in the community didn't take up the slack and say, okay, we'll fund these ourselves, we'll pool our monies together, and we'll fund these programs for the school? Why didn't they do that?
So why have black people pooled their money together and done that?
Well, I'm asking you why they haven't done that. Why?
I taught my son geography at home, okay? I don't know why they didn't pool their money together. I know I had to teach my son at geography at home.
You don't know why they didn't? Why? So you got to figure out why they wouldn't do that. Why they wouldn't pool their money together and just put the curriculum back in school themselves.
Okay, if we are black people are going to pool our money together, we could pool our money together and create things that we actually need, okay? There's some things that there's a lot of money in it. Black people put a lot of money in it. I used to work for the Robinson's May Company,
You got more black people who buy that
than will pay for education.
Okay. So,
I know because I know what the Sean John does because I saw the selling sheet. Okay, I know what it sells.
But you're saying that the school system pulled out money for education for the schools in Philadelphia. But from what I understand, in the white schools, they didn't do that. The white schools in Philadelphia,
they did it in the hood.
Okay, because my man Umar Johnson, he's out there in Philly, and from what
I went to school in Philadelphia. Right. I know Umar Johnson. I know where he's from.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So stop. But I'm following your logic. So they didn't pull out the curriculum and the extracurricular activities in the white school, but they did it in the hood. Why not the white schools, but why the hood? What's the difference between the white schools and the hood?
Probably because the same reason why they bust us to white schools, okay? They bust me from North Philadelphia to white schools is because they took my mother and father's tax money and sent it to the white school, bust me out there, but didn't give me a complete education.
Why did they do that? Why did they take that money and give it to the white community?
Because that's what they do with tax. That's where tax money goes. It goes to the white community.
Oh, okay? So you're talking about white supremacy, huh?
Okay, now see, look. All right. is that I'm not saying that you should not talk about white supremacy, but you should not promote it.
But we're talking about white supremacy. You just went back to white supremacy, ma'am. You went back to white supremacy. You said that's what they do. They take our money and give it to the white schools. So now we are talking about white supremacy, huh?
We are talking about white supremacy, but what I'm trying to tell you is that on top of white supremacy, we also need to stay focused on the solution and actually start to do the solution. Now, I told you, I have a small business, and I need black people to shop and buy my stuff, and if they don't, then I got to work for the white supremacists, because how else am I going to eat? You understand?
Oh, so now it goes back to the...
So if I have a job, permanent job, and I'm working, okay... Why would I leave that white supremacist job if I go on Leimert Park they won't, and you got brothers and sisters out there who won't even look at this. They won't even stop. They just buy stuff from Macy's. If I got the same earrings that Macy's has, buy my earrings. Buy mine. And if I give them to you, Macy's worth $50, I'll give it to you for $30. Just buy them from me. Okay? That's where it starts. It starts when we start spending our money in our own community and we don't do that. And that's something you need to promote.
So how come why do we have to go down there and get it at Leimert Park? How come you don't get a storefront or something at the swap meet and sell it there, someplace that's more legitimate than just buying it on the streets? Why don't you just get a storefront or someplace like that? It's not that much money. Why won't you do that?
No, it's not that much money, but I want to sell my stuff in a place where black people dominate. And I know that black people are mostly in Leimert Park and they live in Inglewood. And if I go to swap meet, then I'm up there with the Koreans and stuff. Uh-huh. It's like, how am I going to centralize it amongst our own people?
But you ain't got to sell it outside. You can get a business, a storefront, and do it that way. Because there's more customer trust. Well, you don't want to buy something, but you're buying something off somebody in the streets, and if the shit goes bad or whatever, they're gone. So it's not a legitimate thing to just buy stuff from people on the street. Because now that's getting into hustling. We're back in the hustle game now.
Well, I buy shea butter on the street, and what's wrong with that?
Ain't nothing wrong with that, but shea butter is some shit you can wash off if it gets too bad. But I'm talking about other tangible products. We can do
like
better
earrings?
Than that. Not just earrings, just anything. Food, a whole bunch of stuff. If we
I don't sell food. I sell earrings.
I'm just giving
you can buy earrings off the street.
I'm just giving
you. I buy earrings off the street all the time.
But who wants to drive all the way down to Leimert Park and get a pair of earrings? And would you on a weekend? What if I want to get some on Monday? What if I want to get some on Tuesday? You should have a legitimate business where you can sell your stuff. And have a reputable place and do things legitimately and do things fly and do things that's on par as other people who are doing business.
How many buildings do black people own in Leimert Park?
I know some brothers out there who own barbershops. I know a couple of cats who own tattoo shops.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple of cats who own Jamaican shops. The Jamaican guys, they own their spot. Shout out to Coley's. Coley's, well, I don't know if Coley's has another spot in Inglewood, but I know they got a spot out in the valley. So there are people who have it. But the thing is, sister, when people start saying, well, let's not focus on white supremacy, and then everything you say leads back to white supremacy, you show that you're confused to a certain degree.
No, I'm not confused to a certain degree. See, if white supremacy is the one thing that's on everyone's mind, a solution is not. Now, I've seen your Hayden Colors videos, and you do offer some certain solutions, but are you going to create a scenario or create ideas where you can actually put it into practice?
Yeah. See,
that's what matters.
Yeah.
You didn't say what it is.
Don't tell me we didn't say we didn't take pulling it.
You don't show examples.
Man, we had Claude Anderson in Hayden Colors.
I read Paul Nomitz. Okay, I read Paul Nomitz before Before I heard him speak, I read Powernomics and I read
we tell people specifically what to do.
So I read all his books.
In Hidden Colors 3, 2, and 1, we give people specific solutions on starting businesses, getting their own schools, getting their political game together. We can't get any more specific than that. So to sit up and say that we don't really offer solutions, that's untrue.
No, I'm not saying you offer solutions. What I'm saying is that you have to start doing things that put the solution in practice. Like
such as
actually
what?
Doing it. Like
so do I? Do we need to jump?
Place.
So do we need to jump out of the screen and make you get up off the sofa?
No. You can have a press junket.
Do what we say in the film? Talking about a press junket. See, I don't. When black folks be telling people to do all of these cockamamie ideas
I spent $65 and I bought all three of your videos on Amazon.
Yes.
Okay. So whatever dividends you collected or proceeds, you can give of that to the community and host a fair of empowerment for black people and show them how to put these things into practice. Because clearly black people have never learned. So you have a breakout session and you say, listen, this is how you put these solutions into practice.
How come you haven't had seminars doing that, ma'am? How come you haven't had seminars doing that?
I have had seminars doing that. Because I work, I'm not going to tell you who I work for, but I've had selling the products for the other people, for the white supremacists.
So you had seminars selling
products.
So you had,
promote their products.
So
yeah.
You got seminars promoting for the white supremacist products?
That's who I work for. How can I not do that? Like, that's my job.
God. Okay. All right.
But what I'm saying to you is that since you have the platform, it's already set up.
What about black on black crime?
What?
Where the white women at?
What?
All white people ain't bad.
Lisa.
What?
We is our own worst enemy.
I gotta go, Lisa. Thank you. I couldn't do no more, family. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm sorry to let it go that long, family. Let me talk to my young black folks for a minute. Let me talk to my young black people for a minute. This is why I ride for you. This is why I ride for you, young black people. All my teens, all my 20-somethings, all my college students. This is why Uncle Tariq rides so hard for you. Your moms and your dads, I know a lot of you, your parents sound just like this motherfucker who just called up. And I hate to insult the sister. I hate to sound like I'm insulting the sister, but I can't really be nice about that. Black folks like this who are completely and utterly full of shit, trying to give people advice on shit they have no goddamn idea they know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about, and they just keep babbling and babbling and babbling and fucking the game up. This is why there are riots around the country right now with young people rising up. And people like that, she'll be out there in the street smacking her kid up for rioting. Ignorant ass old black folks who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, who want to sit up here under white supremacy talking about, let's not talk about white supremacy. Don't talk about my boss. She up here telling me, well, you should use some of your proceeds and do seminars on telling people what to do. Have you done it? Oh, I do it all the time. For who? What's your website? Oh, I do it for the white people I work with. I gotta go. That's it for me. That's it for me. You up here making the white supremacists rich, talking about you ain't got no choice. You sound like a goddamn slave. Man, we can't leave this plantation. We ain't got no choice to make it out there on the farm. We ain't got no choice. Master good to us. That's that protect white daddy shit. You don't want to talk about white supremacy because you got to look at white supremacy every morning. You don't want the pain of having to look at white supremacy every morning, so let's just not talk about it. White supremacy ain't that bad. Let's focus on something else. Let's focus on getting this money. What money are you getting, ma'am? Oh, well, I ain't getting no money now. I used to sell stuff on the streets, and I collect cans, and I recycle because the environment. Just jive-ass nigga talk. Always, when people talk about what they do, people, when they talk about all the shit they got going on, always ask them for their website. That will just stop all the bullshit right there. That will stop all the bullshit right there. Ask them for their website. Or where I'm working on my website. I had it while I'm out there on the weekend, on the street. She sounds like a bum and sounds like she was on the pipe, to be honest. She sounds like she used to be on the pipe. I would like to see what she looks like. I can look at a motherfucker and tell they've been on the pipe. She sounds like she's been on the pipe. You damn near 50. She had a kid at 17. So already making fucked up mistakes. Single teen mother. Fucking up in the game. Now trying to give somebody some advice. That kills me when people have been fucking up all their lives and they're the first ones trying to give people advice on what to do. This is why these young people out here don't know what to do. They're confused and they're being targeted right now by the white supremacists because these coon-ass mammies and pappies didn't give anybody no real advice because they've been fucking up all their lives. God damn, I feel for these young folks out here, man. Kids, it's on you. It's on the young people to take the advice, take the game. She gonna sit up and pretend that the Hidden Colors movies didn't give no solutions. Well, I feel like we should get more solutions just step by step. You should give seminars. The fuck out of here. I'm not about to have no special ed classes on what to do to get up off your ass and do something. She don't want to. She's comfortable with working with the white supremacists. She's comfortable with working with the white supremacists. Somebody in the room said she sounds like she might be a bedwinch. It might be some bedwinching going on. I watch people like that. When they got all these old cockamamie solutions on what black folks need to do. That's another thing. This is why I'm getting the think tank, so we can only get certain people to bring ideas and solutions to the table. Because what happens is when we try to have open meetings or whatever and open dialogue, you get every former crackhead, teen mother, jive ass dusty nigga coming to the table with their Rhythm Spoons mentality. We were talking about this on this Sunday's Ustream, that Rhythm Spoons, man. Hey, what you need to do is give cash prizes to everybody who donate. What you need to do is there's a lot of trash that you can recycle, and it's always some jive ass cockamamie idea that they ain't even doing. Jeez. And then they try to babble their way out of it. When you start calling them on their bullshit, they start babbling their way out of it or trying to babble their way out of it. That game is done. And I'm telling my young black folks, don't sit up and listen to no shit like that. If you got parents who are like that, stay away from them. If you're living with parents like that, get the fuck out of their house. Hustle, grind, do what you need to do to get the fuck out of the house if you got a parent like that, because they're not going to do you any good. They're going to cause you to be a failure. You're going to lose with a parent like that in your house. Jeez. That Rhythm Spoons mentality. Oh, I got a great idea. What we need to do is set up some picnic tables out there at the park, right? And then every week, we can barbecue some ribs, and then we can have some African dances, and then what we can do is have balloons, and then we can rent a goat, and then have the kids pet the goat, and that'll be like a little county fair that we can have. And then what we do with that is that we'll have a bingo game for the elderly people, and then it's always some old crazy far-fetched bullshit that they ain't gonna do. That's why they can make it as far-fetched and crazy as hell. They ain't gonna do none of the shit. That's why it can be some old crazy over-the-top ass scheme. What we need to do, go down to Walmart and get a bunch of blankets, right? And then we sew all the blankets together. And then what we can do, we get some golf balls, and then we can hire some jugglers, and then get the jugglers to put up the blankets like a tent, and then we can make our own circus. And what we could do, we can have some pit bulls jump through rings of fire, and we could charge like $35, $45 to get in. We can have a discount for seniors, but we can have it popping, man, at the Crenshaw Circus. Fuck out of here, man. My young people, man, I feel you. I feel my young people, man. My heart goes out to you with your coked out former crackhead parents talking their dumb shit. With your former crackhead parents talking their dumb shit. That's been today's show. Family, this is why. Come see me live on the Code of Conduct Tour. Come see me live. Just come see me live. This is why we need to talk with the real Melanoid family. This is why we need to talk. We need to get away from the fake Hotep niggas and the Rhythm Spoons crowd. Get tickets to see me at TariqLive.com. I'm going on tour, the Code of Conduct Tour, family. Join me. That's been it for today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, family. Join me this Sunday on Ustream. Don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 right now. Check out my brand new lecture, International Racism. That's at TariqRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen. I will holla at you this Sunday. Peace.